AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio WHIO presents the newest Ask the Expert show, Shooting from the Hip. It's an hour of straight talk about firearms. When can you carry? How long do you have to wait to purchase a firearm? What about safety, training, and so much more? Your host for Shooting from the Hip is Jeff Pedro. Jeff is a 24-year veteran police officer and currently assigned City of Kettering Detective. As owner and lead firearms instructor for SIM training, Jeff is here to bring to the microphone the truth about guns. Here's Jeff on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome, listeners, to this, the first episode of Shooting from the Hip in 2010. I want to welcome all of our listeners out there. I want to encourage you to call in with any concerns you might have about anything related to guns, gun rights, related type issues. Also want to emphasize that 2010 likely promises to be a big year for the shooting industry. 2009 was a tremendous year as far as sales and awareness and training and a variety of different topics, and 2010 is going to be even bigger, and I want you to pay particular attention to the fact that we've got the midterm elections coming up in 2010, and this is where we are going to make a difference. And I'm going to make a prediction. Here it is, the 2nd of January, 2010, that there's going to be a huge swing in 2010 when we go to the polls in November and we get rid of some of the people who aren't doing things the right way, and we get things back to what I consider to be some semblance of normalcy, and especially related to the shooting sports and guns. And it's going to be up to you to take to the polls and let your voice be heard, and in the process make sure that you're active in notifying your congressman of the way you feel and participating in the Tea Party movements and the various other political movements that are going to be going on this year. Mark, you feel the same way?
Oh, absolutely. We've had plenty of opportunity to see what happens when things don't go the way we think they should. And there's certainly been plenty of things that we've seen in the last year that would have been different if I was king for the day. So, yeah, and of course, last year we did a couple of things with the Tea Party group in Dayton. That was a lot of fun, and we'll have to – maybe we can even get them on the air sometime, and we'll talk a little bit about how the right to keep and bear arms and how that meshes with some of our other liberties that we really need to pay attention to.
Absolutely. 2009 proved to be a record year for the shooting industry, record numbers of sales of firearms and accessories, record as far as SIM trainer goes, and I think that since we are the leader in training in the area, we can say record numbers of people coming looking for training and opportunities to shoot their firearms recreationally. I also talked to the people at Middletown Sportsman's Club and some of the other sportsman's clubs around here, and they're seeing increased numbers of people coming to them and wanting to get involved, and that's got to continue in 2010.
I think one of the big things was the number of new shooters. We saw a tremendous increase in the number of folks taking advantage of the First Shots program. People who had never shot before and said, you know, I don't like necessarily what I see going on, and at least I want to make sure that I know how to operate a firearm should I ever need to do that.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Mark, because I know our listeners have heard it time and time again, but we pretty much have to say it all the time. The First Shots program is an opportunity for those with very little or no experience with firearms to come out and get a good foundational education course on firearm safety and basic functional operation of firearms, and have a great time enjoying the shooting sports. And what we can just tell you is that over the last several months, we've seen tremendously increasing numbers. I know Mark has mentioned in the last couple shows that we had three classes in December. We scheduled one initially, and we ended up having to schedule two additional, and they filled up. And I'm glad to report that the January class is already filled up, and we had to start a second session, and it's filling quickly. And I want to encourage our listeners out there, if you just haven't been able to pull the trigger, so to speak, yet, but if you're interested in getting involved in the shooting sports, call us at 293-3914 or visit us on the website at sim-trainer.com and get yourself registered for one of the upcoming First Shots classes.
And if you'd like to get on the show, be sure you give us a call at 457-1290 here at the studio, and we'll get you up on the board and try to answer your questions, or maybe you have a comment that relates to some of the stuff that we've already been talking about. We've got a lot of other things. Jeff, you want to talk about the FBI?
Yeah, I want to just mention something that I'm sure that most of the listeners probably haven't heard about, because quite frankly, the media, they know that they have the information. They've been sent the same information that everybody else has been sent, but for whatever reason, and we know what their reason is, they haven't been willing to disclose it. But in 2009, the FBI Uniform Crime Reports for the first 6 months, January through June, noted that there was a 4.4% decrease in the overall violent crime rate in this country. And listen to this figure, a 10% reduction in the murder rate. Now, that's substantial. When you look at that is the most verifiable data source in the country at the present time. The FBI Uniform Crime Report data is a compilation of information distributed or sent from various police agencies who are required to submit data on certain crime and crimes that occur in their jurisdictions on a regular basis. So it's the most accurate data source out there. And based on the findings of a recently publicized report, they have already given preliminary data that there's an overall 4.4% decrease in violent crime and a 10% decrease in the murder rate.
And that's since last year?
Since 2008.
Mm-hmm. 2008. So from 2008 to 2009, a 10% decrease in the murder rate.
Yeah.
That must be because we take all the guns off the street.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe not so much.
Not so
much. In fact, we've had more guns sold in the last year than we've seen recently. I mean, the number increase from about the middle of 2008 through 2009, it's just been huge. And it's just in the last few months that even we've been able to get guns on a regular basis because everybody was backlogged on orders. There were so many guns being sold. Manufacturers were producing as many guns as they possibly could. As we talked back in May at the NRA annual meeting, Glock had doubled their production from 30,000 to 60,000 guns a month, and they were 4 months behind. They've now pretty much gotten close to catching up, and we can get most of the guns when we need them. But for a long time, you know, people were just buying guns faster than they could be made.
Right. And now many of the people out there probably are wondering what contributed to this decrease. And unfortunately, it's not easy to grasp the actual reason or reasons why there was a decrease in violent crime in this country. But let me offer you one theory. People with guns generally have a better mindset. They have a mindset they've taken enough. And now they're going to go to take measures to protect themselves, protect their homes, and not only are they going to get a firearm to ultimately protect themselves, but they're going to start doing things to make their target hardened. In other words, they're going to make their house more difficult target. They're not going to leave doors unlocked. They're not going to leave garage doors open. They're not going to leave their keys in their car. They're not going to do things that make it easy for criminals.
And, of course, what we're talking about is the law-abiding citizens, as opposed to some of the people that have guns that really shouldn't have had guns in the first place.
Absolutely. And let me tell you,
shouldn't even be on the street.
We've talked about this many, many times. There are plenty of laws on the books to stop those people from getting guns. And I can just tell you that over the last month in my job as a police officer, I've been involved in three or four criminal acts or investigations of criminal acts where people who should have never had access to guns got them. And a couple things I want to mention. A recent study of law enforcement officers killed and assaulted in the line of duty found that, contrary to popular belief, none of the firearms used in any of the study cases were obtained legally. They were all obtained illegally, and none of them were obtained at gun shows, contrary to what Mayor Bloomberg and his cronies are trying to promote, the agenda that they've tried to promote over the last couple of years. The guns were either stolen in burglaries or otherwise obtained through illegal transactions on the streets with other criminals. So there's plenty of laws on the books. We just have to be vigilant in enforcing those laws and then handling those people who are not supposed to be having those guns and who obtain those guns illegally, and increase or actually mandate the sentencing that's already prescribed, and we're going to have better luck in that particular area.
Take them off the street, keep them in jail, and then, amazingly enough, the crime rate goes down.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing. It's commonsensical almost. It's commonsensical. But instead of addressing that issue, the anti-gunners and the media want to focus on the craze of the gun owners, and that's a totally illogical approach to take to things. The evidence is right in front of their face. It's not guns that cause crime. It's bad people with bad intentions that cause crime, and we just need to deal with those type of people.
Indeed we do. Let's go to the phones. We've got a call. Bill has called us from Centerville. Bill, you've got a question for us? Go ahead.
I had another part to this question that I didn't tell your screener. I'm currently carrying a 4-inch model 5841 Magnum, and I want a. It's a little bit heavy and it's not very fillable.
I think that's a pretty good understatement.
Let me just ask you, is that the gun that you just happen to have and so you carry it, or did you make that choice for some reason?
I just happen to have it.
Yeah. Give some thought to either trading that, unless it has sentimental value, purchasing another gun that's a little bit more practical for concealed carry. That's got a lot of power to it. It's a big gun, and it's just something that you can you can get rid of and trade for something a little bit more convenient and accommodating.
I really don't want to trade it, but here's what I want to do. I like that Ruger SP-101, the snubby.
Okay.
And my question was, what do you think about the 357 as opposed to that new 327 Federal cartridge?
There's not a whole lot of ballistic data out there, but the information, the preliminary information that is available, the early information is that it's ballistically sound. I like the 357 round myself. That's what I carry as an off-duty round. But some of the others that are out there, as long as they are factory manufactured personal protection ammo, you're not going to have a problem.
The nice thing about the 327 Magnum is that you get about the same number of rounds in the same size as you'd get. You get six rounds in the same size that you'd get five rounds of the 357. It is a very new cartridge. It's very difficult to find the ammunition for it. But it did get some great reviews when American Rifleman did a review of that product.
Probably more expensive than the 357, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and harder to find. So,
right.
In terms of ammunition.
Right. Well, thank you, Jeff. I really love your show.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for giving us a call, Bill. Let's take a break. We're about at our midpoint break in the first half hour. We'll be back and talk to Robert in Huber Heights. And we'll take your calls at 457-1290. Give us a call here at the studio, and we'll be back on WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Whether you're a novice or a seasoned enthusiast, the place to go for all your firearms needs is Vandalia Tactical, the Dayton area's premier firearm store, offering a full line of firearms and accessories. There are your typical gun shops. Then there's Vandalia Tactical. They are the only dealer in the area to carry the AR-15 assault rifle. Need a firearm for work or for personal safety? Vandalia Tactical specializes in handguns and tactical rifles. Come visit the store at 312 North Dixie Drive in Vandalia and check their website, VandaliaTactical.com, for specific store hours. If you're ready to take your firearms shopping experience to the next level, see Vandalia Tactical. So respected that they ship orders for their guns to customers in 49 states. Sure, there are gun shops. Then there's Vandalia Tactical, 312 North Dixie Drive. Call 264-8432. That's 264-8432. Vandalia Tactical, the Dayton area's premier firearm store.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget crossbreedholsters.com.
America, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.
I want to welcome our listeners back to Shooting from the Hip on WHIO, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor shooting range and firearms training facility. I want to remind our listeners that Sim Trainer's emphasis and specialty is in firearms training. And we offer a variety of training courses, all the way from First Shots, which is an introductory course for those interested in getting involved in the shooting sports, all the way through to concealed carry and advanced handgun classes, basic rifle, and a variety of other training courses, including total personal defense, which is more a self-defense type course. You can check out those courses on the website at www.sim-trainer.com. I also want to remind our listeners that we have several very friendly sponsors for the show. First of all, we have attorney Steve Pearson, He's an attorney who specializes in concealed carry and related legal issues. And Steve can be reached at 937-299-2995. Also want to welcome our newest sponsor, Crossbreed Holsters. They offer a full line of concealment holsters, and they can be accessed by going to crossbreedholsters.com on the net. And finally, a local proprietor, Vandalia Tactical, up in Vandalia, full-service firearms sales company, and they can be reached at 937-264-8432. Please give consideration to doing business with our sponsors, because they do a great job supporting what we're trying to get across here.
And if you're out driving and you didn't get any of that information, the only one you really need to remember is sim-trainer.com and go to /radio. And all of that information is on our radio page at sim-trainer.com/radio. If you want to email us at, about the show, or you have a question that you'd like us to address, you can also email us radio@sim-trainer.com. That's a great way to get a hold of us.
We have another caller there, Mark. Let's see.
Why, as a matter of fact, we do. Let's still go talk to Robert in Hubert Heights. Robert, you have a question for us?
Yeah, I have a question about the concealed carry, having to have your weapon in a holster if
okay.
it's on your person.
All right. The question is, are you saying, is that required?
Yes. I have a NRA coat that has a concealed compartment
okay.
in the chest portion, okay? And it would, if you have a weapon in a holster in there, you couldn't, I mean, you just can't get it out.
Well, that system does have holster that goes inside the jacket, and it holds the gun in the same place every time.
The pocket is not that big for
okay.
my weapon.
All right.
Let me address that issue.
Around in there.
Right, right. Remember, the intent of the law there was to make sure that the person had it secured on their person. The language they put in the law, just because obviously many of the legislatures who draft legislation don't always think of every possible option that might be available out there, because they're simply not aware of them. But the intent of the law was to have it secured on the person's body. But for example, women who carry a purse,
right.
they would be able to carry that in a purse, which may or may not have a holster. So the intent of the
right.
the intent of the law is just to have it secured on your person. Now, I'm not going to give you legal advice there. That might be a opportunity for you to get a hold of Steve and see what his official legal opinion is. We mentioned you can call the attorney that sponsors the show, Steve Pearson, at 937-299-2995 and see what he has to say. Tell him we just recommended you call him, and he might just give you some general information about that. But I think in general, from a law enforcement perspective, I'm looking at the intent of the law. You have that code on. You have it secured. You're good to go. A law enforcement officer approaches you, as long as you comply with the requirements of notifying that you're a concealed carry permit holder. You advise him where your gun is, and you present the proper credentials. Once he's asked you for them, you're not going to have a problem.
It's the place that
has one of the purses from NRA also.
Okay. Now, the one place in the law where it specifies a holster on the person is when you're in a vehicle. So that's the one place that the holster applies, and the rest of the time it's just a real good idea.
Well, there you are. I'm wearing my coat in the vehicle.
Right. And again, it goes back to what I just said. It's the intent of the law, and the language when they were talking about it being in a holster, it's a holster jacket. I mean, the jacket has a compartment which serves as a holster, which secures
yes.
the weapon. It's not a holster in the purest sense of a gun holster, but that's what the purpose of that pocket is
correct.
To secure the firearm. So again, it's the intent of the law, and I would hope that rational, reasonable decision making would prevail in that kind of a situation.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you for
all
your
right,
call,
thanks
sir.
For very much for giving us a call. Let's talk to Reed in Kettering. Reed, you have a question for us, shooting from the hip?
Yes, I have a Auto Mag 3 in 30 caliber carbine, and I just wondered if you could give me a ballpark figure on what you think that might be worth. It's in the box, almost like brand new.
You know, I'd have to. That's something I'd have to look up. Maybe there's one of the folks out there that has the has information. They can look it up. I don't have a reference material here in the studio with me, but we'd be happy to look that up. If you send me an email at radio.
I don't have a a computer.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, we'll just take a note, and then we'll try to address it next week. It's an AutoMag.
Right, AutoMag 3 and 30 caliber carbine. It's a pistol.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. We'll see what kind of information we can get to you. We don't have that information here in the studio, so we'll have to get that back to you next week.
Okay.
Is that all right?
And I've got another question here.
Okay.
I used to do a lot of reloading and shooting,
mm-hmm.
and I've kind of given that up, partly because of age.
Okay.
And I just wondered, can you give me an idea where I could sell lead? I've got well over 100 pounds.
Yeah, you can contact any of the local metal recyclers in the area, and they'll be more than glad to take that off your hands.
Lead recyclers.
It could be any of the metal recyclers, not just lead recyclers.
Yes,
you could call, just look under metal recycling or recycling metals and call them and ask them. You tell them the specific form that it's in, if it's in bars or just chunks, whatever, and you tell them, and they'll let you know.
Yeah,
I will tell you it's not very, it's not going for a high price right now, but they'll be glad to take it off your hands. You'll just have to bring it down.
I appreciate that information.
Okay.
And just one other question.
Go ahead.
I want to keep one gun for myself, and I'm just wondering what your opinion is of the 380.
Very good gun, and when we come back after the break, we'll be more than glad to talk about that.
Okay, and we're at the bottom of the hour, so we'll be going into the news here just very quickly. Give us a call at 457-1290, and we'll be back in just a few minutes on WHIO.
AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio WHIO and Sim Trainer Indoor Range and Firearms Training Center present Shooting from the Hip. It's straight talk about firearms, ammunition, self-defense, when and where you can carry, legislation, and legal issues. All about safety, training, and so much more. Your hosts are Jeff Pedro and Mark Avery. Jeff is a 24-year veteran police officer, currently assigned City of Kettering Detective, and owner and lead instructor at Sim Trainer. Mark is a retired Air Force officer, senior staff instructor at Sim Trainer, and NRA-certified instructor in multiple disciplines. They're here to bring to the microphone the truth about guns. Join them by calling 457-1290. Now, Shooting from the Hip. On AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
And there we go. There's our new intro into the show. That'll be the intro that we'll be using from now on in the show. So it's nice to have that update as we go into 2010.
I want to welcome all our listeners back to Shooting from the Hip again. This is our first episode or broadcast in 2010, which promises to be a great year. This show is sponsored by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's leader in firearms training. And along those lines, I want to mention to our listeners that we have several upcoming training classes that I want you to consider taking part in. First of all, we have the concealed carry class going on next Saturday and Sunday, January 9th and 10th, from 9 to 5 p.m. each day. We also have one coming up in February. That'll be a Monday through Thursday evening class from 5:30 to 9:30. In addition, on January 16th, we have our first shots class going on from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Plenty of spots available for that particular class. And then for those of you that already had some firearms training, maybe already have your concealed carry permit, or you want to just get some additional training, we have the first of our five handgun series classes, handgun level one, starting on Saturday, January 23rd. And Thursday evening from 6 to 10, January 23rd. I want to encourage our listeners to give that some thought because it's a great series of classes and it gets you up to speed real quickly on the basic fundamentals and some of the advanced training that's out there.
Let's talk a little bit about the 380 question that we had just before we left the half hour.
Yeah, the caller just mentioned something about what we thought about the 380. I want to advise the listeners that the 380 round is a superior round. It's just technically a neck down 9mm. It's a good round, and as with all the ballistics, shot placement's the critical factor. The advantage to the 380 handgun is its ease of concealment on most people's bodies, and there's plenty of good guns out there in future broadcast, we're going to certainly take the time to talk about some of those. I'll tell you right now, one of the hottest ones on the market is the Ruger LCP. Hasn't been out there real long. I know that some people that have shot it have been very impressed with it. It's easy to conceal on the body, but there are plenty of others. The Sig Sauer P230 or P232, which have been out there for quite some time, is another proven tested gun, and there's several others that are good and true. But the bottom line is, with the 380, as with any gun, is going to be shot placement, and that's going to strictly come down to how much time you spend training with your gun and how accurate you are when it comes time to use it. We have a caller on the line who wants to talk a little bit about, I think it's Steve from Dayton. He has a question about handgun registration in the city of Dayton. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead with your question.
Okay, well, I got to echo the phrase about the 380. I've got a Ruger LCP, and it's a really nice little handgun, very light, very concealable. And it could also get you in trouble because sometimes you forget you have it with you.
yeah, don't do that.
But my question is, okay, I live back in the city of Dayton now. I was a resident for a long time and moved away for a while. But back then, the city of Dayton had a law that if, I don't think it was only just for handguns, but if you were a firearms owner, you had to register. And I know you're a Kettering detective, but... does Dayton still have that law?
Well, I think they still have the law in the books. However, the state law that went into effect a couple years ago preempts that law and basically says that municipalities can no longer have more restrictive laws than the state law. Mark, you want to comment a little bit on that provision?
Yeah, when we had, I believe it was in March of 2007, we had that law went into effect and it changed. It preempted all of the handgun area of law is a statewide law now. So the state legislature said no, municipalities can set different laws for firearms. And part of the main reason for that was so that, especially with concealed carry, if you're carrying and you go from city to city or county to county, and you're following the laws as you understand them to be based on the Attorney General's guidebook for concealed carry, and then you go to some place that has a completely different law, you could get into all kinds of trouble without even realizing it. And the state said, you know, that's probably not the best thing that we can do for our citizens. We're certainly not protecting anybody with those. And about 88 laws then were preempted when that law went into effect.
Because it used to be, if you were just driving through Dayton and you would happen to have an assault rifle with you, you know, even stored properly, you could get in trouble.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of provisions out there, but I just want to emphasize that those types of laws really don't have much bearing on crime anyway. Number one, the bad guys don't bother to register. Even when they had the law, they never bothered to register. I'm not aware of a bad guy that has a gun that went ahead and registered himself as a gun owner in a municipality, so that's not an issue. And as an investigator of criminal acts over the years, I'm telling you it's the bad guys who don't follow the laws that we're after. It's not the law-abiding citizens that it would serve no useful purpose to make them go through the tedious process of registering themselves as a firearms owner, whether they own one arm, one firearm, or 20 firearms. So that's kind of the official opinion of this of our show and our group.
Where are you physically located?
We're at 2031 2031 Dryden Road. In Moraine, right across from DP&L.
Right. Okay. And are you allowed to stay over there? I've got a next door neighbor who wants to take a CCW course. What your rates are for that course?
Yeah, since you called in today, he'll get a discount. It's $125 for the full course. It's a 15-hour class, and it's either available on Saturdays and Sundays or on Monday through Thursday evening configuration.
Okay.
The normal price is $150, and that's but we give a special discount to folks that call in.
Okay. I just like to put in my plug. My favorite is my Sig Sauer P229. It's in a 9mm, and I love it.
Sig makes good guns.
Yes, they do.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you for your information. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your call,
thanks very
sir.
Much for calling. Let's talk to Bruce in Bellbrook. Bruce, you have a question?
I do.
Okay.
I spend part of my time in Bellbrook and part of my time in South Carolina. What are the different laws? And if I have a concealed carry here, is it good down there and in between?
Are you an Ohio resident?
No, technically South Carolina resident.
Okay. All right, we have...
That's going to complicate things a little bit. Because basically, if you're a resident of South Carolina, then for the most part, you're going to be primarily governed by the rules of your home state where you are a resident.
Okay.
And there are a number of states throughout the country, I believe it's up to 19 now, that have reciprocity agreements with the state of Ohio, whereas they recognize each other's concealed carry provisions. You just have to follow the specific provisions of that particular state's code. In your case, since you're living both places and you're not a resident of Ohio, your residency in South Carolina is going to govern.
Okay.
So you're going to have to familiarize yourself very thoroughly with South Carolina law, and I don't have the list in front of me right now, Mark. South Carolina, I don't believe, is one of the reciprocity.
I think it is, but I'm checking right now.
We're going to double check right now, but if we have reciprocity with South Carolina, then you're going to be okay as long as you're here. But you need to totally familiarize yourself with your home state's firearms rules and regulations, and that'll help you in that regard. We're going to look that up here right now on the air, but I just want to
you can go to OhioAttorneyGeneral.gov, and that is where all of the reciprocity agreements are listed. If you go under enforcement, law enforcement, and then you'll go to concealed carry, we do have reciprocity with South Carolina. So you'll be able to get your license in South Carolina, and it will be valid in Ohio so that you can carry. Now, you need to follow the laws of the place that you're located. So when you're here in Ohio, you'll need to understand ours. You can also go out to the Ohio Attorney General's website and download our book, which has kind of a brief summary of the concealed carry provisions in Ohio.
Okay.
And also remember, just for you and the rest of our listeners, that applies to how you carry your gun in public. If you have a gun for personal protection in your home, that's a totally different situation, and there aren't any specific guidelines for that particular consideration. But you do need to be familiar with the laws in the state of Ohio, since you spend, it sounds like, a lot of time here?
Yep, about half.
Yeah, about half, and just take the time to look through the revised or the kind of condensed version of the law and make sure that you comply with them, and you're going to be fine.
If you'd like to also get a much better understanding of the law in Ohio, you can take our concealed carry legal update. As a licensee, you can take that class. It's $49, and we offer that anytime we have a concealed carry class as well.
Okay.
Let's go into our last break for the hour, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes on Shooting from the Hip on WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM, News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Sim Trainer is the Dayton area's premier indoor shooting range and firearms training facility. Sim Trainer is a members-only facility featuring 10 individual shooting stalls and a mechanical target retrieval system. Their range is also climate-controlled for your year-round comfort. Sim Trainer offers both pay-as-you-go and year-long individual and family memberships. They're also proud to offer reduced-rate memberships for law enforcement and military. Need training? Sim Trainer holds unique and innovative firearms training courses, including the award-winning First Shots program, a concealed carry course, and an advanced five-course handgun series. Sim Trainer is open Monday through Sunday. Check the website, sim-trainer.com, to find out more, or call 293-3914. Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's premier indoor shooting range and firearms training facility, 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, just across from DPNL. Online at sim-trainer.com. The Second Amendment to the United States Constitution is part of the United States Bill of Rights that protects a right to keep and bear arms. The meaning and scope of this right has been described as among the most contested of the rights. A decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in 2008 determined that a ban on home possession of an operable firearm, such as a handgun, violates the Second Amendment. That ruling, however, only applies to federal laws and jurisdictions, leaving it unclear what kinds of firearms regulations the state governments can adopt without running afoul of the Constitution. Stephen T. Pearson, attorney at law, has been protecting your Second Amendment rights for 25 years. Stephen T. Pearson is a criminal defense attorney here in the greater Dayton area, specializing in conceal and carry law and anything involving the Second Amendment. You can contact Stephen T. Pearson at 299-2995, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Stephen T. Pearson, attorney at law, 299-2995.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
You're tuned in to the Country Club of the North. Ask the Expert Show, Shooting from the Hip, on AM 1290 and 95.7 FM. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
And welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery with Jeff Pedro. We're here for another 10 minutes or so as we're talking about firearms and firearms training and safety. I'd like one more thing that I want to add to the comment just before the break about carry from with a license from South Carolina. There is, unfortunately, the way the Ohio law is written, we have a limited number of states that we have reciprocity with, and as I just checked, the South Carolina is one of them, so that's good for that person. But for other people that come here to visit Ohio, their license is very possibly not going to be recognized, and Ohio does not offer a non-resident license. So there's no way for people that live in those states to carry here on and get an Ohio license or their own license. What most of them have to do is to go to some other state that has a non-resident license that we have reciprocity with. And Florida and Utah are probably some of the most popular of those. So just for anybody that might be listening that's from out of state and would like to be able to carry a concealed handgun while they're visiting Ohio, That's kind of the only way to do it if you're not in one of the states that Ohio has reciprocity with. We'll put a link up after the show on our radio page at sim-trainer.com/radio when I put the show notes up from today. And we'll have a link to the Attorney General's website that has what states we have reciprocity with. We also do have a link to the Ohio Concealed Carry Book. And we have that linked. I'll also add it to the show notes, but it's also linked on our training page, the civilian training page, in the concealed carry class.
Mark, it's got a couple more callers on the line.
Let's talk to Jim in Dayton. Jim, you have a question about something we talked a little bit earlier, the 327 Magnum.
Yeah, I tuned in late, and I thought maybe I misunderstood what someone was saying. Is that a 32 caliber bullet?
Yes, it is. It basically is. It is to the 32 long what the 357 Magnum is to the 38 Special.
Didn't they used to call that a 3220 way back when?
This is a brand new cartridge. It was just in the last couple of years this has come out. It may be similar to that to another cartridge, but this is a completely new cartridge specifically designed for personal defense. And for revolvers, they designed a revolver and the cartridge together.
That was my next question. Is it a revolver round or an autoloader? But I got that straightened out. Yeah, 3220s go way back, and I have a lever-action rifle and a Smith & Wesson revolver that fire both rounds. You just throw a handful of shells into your pocket and go hunting.
Okay.
But I didn't realize that they had this new thing, and I thought maybe it was just a rebadge of some old round that had been around for a long time.
And it was kind of very similar to what SIG did several years ago when they came out with the semi-auto 357 SIG round. It's they trade named it and they patented it just so that they could obviously market it, and it's a very similar thing that was done with this particular round.
I see. Just a couple of millimeters or just a little bit of space is all it takes to totally change everything, and you've got a completely new round.
That's it. Thank you for your information, and thank you for your call.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Jerry. Jerry, you have a question for us.
Yes, I do. First of all, I want to say I've learned an awful lot listening to you guys.
Well, thank you very much.
And I am a lady in my early 70s.
Okay.
And sometimes I feel like, well, maybe I should have a gun to carry in my purse, you know.
There are a lot of folks in your position who have the same belief.
I want to know what kind you would suggest. I would like a small one, you know.
Okay.
And what kind you would suggest and where I would find one?
There are many guns that would be suitable, and the biggest thing that we need to do is have you come in and help you fit one. There's a lot of differences. For instance, some folks think that the revolver is simpler to operate and often will recommend that. The problem is that the trigger pull on a revolver can be pretty long, and a lot of people, especially if there's, you know, if you have any, like maybe an arthritic condition, which is fairly common as folks get older, I'm starting to feel some of that.
I'm getting that myself.
So if you don't have the hand strength that you once did, you may not be able to pull the trigger on a revolver. So although it would be simpler to operate, you may not be able to work it.
I see.
So there are just too many variables for us to be able to tell you that without seeing.
And again, as Mark mentioned, I think the best thing for you to do is give us a call at Sim Trainer at 293-3914 and uh-huh. make arrangements to come in for a private lesson so that we can kind of customize something that works best for you.
Yeah. Well, I have no idea about choosing one or anything. Mm-hmm. I've always been scared to death of them.
Well, I think it'd be good for you to come to our First Shots class, and we can kind of dispel some of those myths and make it so that you're not scared, because a lot of people that are scared, they just haven't had the experience.
Well, I guess that's probably me. I don't know.
Right. Well, why don't you give us a call at 293-3914, and let's see if we can get you scheduled for a First Shots class and kind of dispel some of that fear you might have.
Okay, well, I thank you very much for your info.
You're welcome, and I want to remind our listeners out there that private lessons for people who are interested in getting involved or purchasing a firearm is the best way to go, because when you go to a store and you look at all the things that are out there, you're going to end up buying something that may or may not be suitable for you, and coming in to take a private lesson where we give you a chance to shoot a variety of different firearms, different calibers, will be the best way for you to get something that's right for you.
Let's talk to Caroline in Dayton, because she's got a great follow-up question. Caroline, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm listening to you about private lessons and about taking the different lessons. My question is, do I have to be a member of the gun club to go out there?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You just need to somehow come into the range. The best way for a person like yourself is to take our First Shots class, and you do not have to be a member. The interesting thing about that is that a good number of those people, about 50%, either come back and get memberships or they participate in additional training because of their first initial positive experience. So I would encourage you to give that as a primary consideration.
All right. And what are the hours again there?
Well, we have a variety of hours, and if you check the website at sim-trainer.com, it gives a full listing, but essentially it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5 to 9, Tuesday and Thursday, 10 to 2, all day Saturday, 9 to 5, and Sunday afternoon, 1 to 5.
All right. Thank you very much.
Come and see us. Thank you very much for your call.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling. That is one of the big things that we find with the First Shots classes for new folks. Plus, you get access to the range from that point.
Yeah, I want to take this opportunity before we're pressed for time to just extend wishes for a happy retirement to a fellow officer, Jerry Geisel, a Kettering police officer who's retiring after, believe it or not, 36 years of service this week. 36 years
That's
of dedicated law enforcement service. That's a long time, and he's a dear friend, and I just wanted to make sure that we got that in there before we had to go off the air. It's been another great show, and again, this is the send-off show for 2010, which promises to be a tremendous year. I want to encourage people to stay active, stay tuned to the show, because as issues come up to the fore, we're going to present it. We're going to give you a chance to call in with your views, and we're going to get the information out there, make people informed, because that's what the show's all about.
If you have something that you'd like addressed on the show, send us an email at radio@sim-trainer.com or call the range at 293-3914, and we'll get those issues addressed. If you have missed any of our previous shows, you can get them on our website at sim-trainer.com/radio. There's also a link there for our Facebook page. We have a fan page, and if you'd like to become a fan of the show, you can do that from that link on our radio page at sim-trainer.com/radio. Thanks for joining us. You've been with Shooting from the Hip on AM 1290 and now 95.7 FM News Talk Radio, WHIO.